The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It's been about a decade since the Texas A&M San Antonio University campus opened up on the south side of the city. The timeline was set at that time for development around the campus, but that didn't materialize. But the city is ready to draft goals for growth in the area. A&M SA is a catalyst for San Antonio's south side. The university is expected to be an anchor for regional planning projects in the surrounding area, which includes historic sites and Toyota's local manufacturing facilities. How will the plan incorporate the interest of the area residents and businesses? How can the region maximize benefits from A&M SA? And what is needed there, like housing, transportation opportunities, parks, environmental protections? What do you want to see happening around San Antonio's south side? Call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and you can email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour by San Antonio City Council Representative for District 3, Rebecca Villagran. Also with us is Rudy Nino. He's the Assistant Director of the City of San Antonio's Planning Department. And Todd McAbee, he is the Chief Facilities Officer for Texas A&M University San Antonio, a registered architect with the state of Texas. Welcome, all of you. It's great to have you here this afternoon.
And so,
Councilmember Villagran, tell us about the opportunities that you see for this area.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on. I'm very excited about what this is going to usher in for our community. I think what we have here is just the right timing of everything coming together. I think we have the opportunity with the growth of Texas A&M San Antonio to have more jobs. I think we have an opportunity to have more retail and amenities coming out here. And I think we have we really have to leverage this for more transportation options and for more connectivity and infrastructure development out in this area, as well as more housing for our community.
And what's happening right now to get there?
Well, right now for this area, we're very happy that the SA Tomorrow plan is had its first meeting on the Regional Center on January 30th, where we got to hear from some of the residents in the area and the university and others to see where are we going next. I think a big player in this that has always been kind of what's going to happen next is that old Verano land up towards the front of 410. I think you see more single-family housing coming up and along 410, and you see the growth of what's happening off of Zarzamora, but also in the Brooks area and how it's coming together. So we're trying to also look and see what do we need to do when it comes to infrastructure needs. I think that's a big issue that's happening here. And how do we create the east-west connection instead of just north and south?
And Rudy Nino, you're the Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Planning Department. What do you see around Texas A&M SA as its opportunities, and what are the hangups?
There's a lot of opportunity. I think that we're really starting with a blank canvas when you look at the Texas A&M area and that Toyota area. There's a lot of opportunity given the fact that there's a lot of land that's available. So something that we need to discuss with the public up front is you know, what is the future of this area going to look like moving forward? Folks do and have an interest in wanting to maintain some of the rural character and some of the unique natural area that they enjoy in the community. But they also understand that there's a need for more investment in the community in order for them to gain some of those amenities that the councilwoman discussed. So we're going to have this, we're going to start this planning team effort. We're going to start this long-range planning process with the community. We're going to be as transparent as we can about what the goals are for the city and how the A&M region fits into the city. And I think that we are going to be challenged with finding that balance between future potential growth in the area along with maintaining some of the assets that folks want to preserve and protect.
So Todd Maccabee, Chief Facilities Officer at Texas A&M University San Antonio, what kind of dialogue is the campus having with the city of San Antonio in order to make sure that students are able to get to school and also you're able to create a vibrant campus atmosphere?
Well, I can tell you that we've had discussions with VIA. That's a one big challenge that we're having is to ensure that we get the mass transit, the ability for people to get to us. We are, we're pretty remote. It's not always an easy task. So we've had plenty of conversations with Rudy and Carlos about what this SA Tomorrow program is going to do for us. So we're really excited to be in a position as an anchor out there, and hopefully, part of what we want to do is help spur on this growth that Rudy was talking about. So we're just really excited to have this opportunity to see this amount of growth and be a large part of that.
And so people may not be familiar with how Texas A&M actually came to be where it is right now. People may look at it and see, wow, here's this beautiful, picturesque campus. It seems like it just fell out of the sky and landed in the middle of the desert. It's a very remote area in this beautiful South Texas scrubland area around the Chaparral, right around it. And how did that come to be? Councilmember Villagran, this is part of a deal with Verano in order to, they donated the property, but they own all the property around it. Basically, they donated the donut hole, right?
Correct. We have in this whole plan here, there was one, our state legislature with then Senator Frank Madla, they always wanted to have it a four-year university in the south side of San Antonio, and they made sure that it was going to be there near Sasamora in the south side of San Antonio. And, when we think about it, though, it is just right outside of Loop 410. This location is still within Loop 1604. When you think about that in perspective of what's just outside of 410 North, what's still inside 1604 North, this whole area of this university, this four-year university, is still within just outside of 410 and within Loop 1604, just in the southern sector of San Antonio. But it took our legislatures back some years ago to fight to make sure that a four-year university could be there in the south side of San Antonio.
And that was a lot of forethought being put in there, and the city of San Antonio was doing a lot of investment right now. I know that there was bond money in the last bond election that's going to help actualize being able to get easier to the campus. Councilwoman, council member?
We are trying to, yes, I think part of it is looking at bond dollars allocated there, but also when we're looking at the Texas A&M San Antonio area as part of the regional center for SA Tomorrow, Texas A&M is the northern part of this regional center, and Toyota Neal Road is the southern part. So we have this whole activation that needs to happen. We have invested dollars in and around Applewhite Road in Sarsamora. We have invested dollars for this area, too, because we know that we as a city, especially in the southern sector of San Antonio, we're trying to be proactive with investing our dollars into infrastructure and streets. Unfortunately, the MPO assigns points and rewards those areas to that are already congested.
Right.
But we know that the development's coming, so we would love to see more dollars from the state on those areas that we're trying to be proactive and plan for the future.
Planning for the future, that's what we're talking about right now at Texas A&M San Antonio on the city's south side, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, talking about the future of Texas A&M San Antonio, the city's south side. It's a tremendous facility Right now, it's pretty much a tabula rasa, a blank slate out there. We're kind of in a chicken and egg situation with getting development going. And in the sense of you never know what kind of chicken's going to show up. We're a chicken and egg situation. It could be a really odd duck instead, not the beautiful fowl that you were dreaming of. And that's why the city of San Antonio is getting involved, and they're asking the community to provide feedback with the survey. They want to make sure that they put in the infrastructure and the facilities that they can in order to make sure that they're maximizing the opportunities that this campus provides to San Antonio South. It really could redefine the entire south part of the city if all goes well. This is why there is such effort being put in now with this SA Tomorrow planning. If you have something that you want to see for the south side of San Antonio, amenities that you want to see put in, if you have concerns about transportation, if you make that commute every day to go to class at Texas A&M SA, what are you seeing? What are the hangups? Give us a call, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And let's go back now to Council Member Rebecca Villagran. She's with District 3. Where do you see this area in 20, 30, 50 years?
20, 30, 50 years. Okay. So I see it as a vibrant community with I see that area with a research center for the university with Texas A&M San Antonio. I would love to be able to see it with water research in that area. I see it as a thriving area with our greenway system where people are going to be able to ride or hike up and down our greenway system in that area. But I see it thriving with homes, but with open space and families who are going to live there and build their lives there and be able to work in and around the area. That's what I see, and I believe we're going to increase the level of bachelor degrees in the city of San Antonio because of the thriving area of this regional center.
So, like, you can't help with the comparison to UTSA on the city's north side. And people who make that commute every day, they may cross their mind, didn't anyone do any planning when they put out this university out here? It is not off I-10. You have to get back way up. It's kind of it causes so much congestion. It seemed like if people had put more forethought into how that was going to be integrated into the highway system at the time, that they would be road runners and not road waiters, sitting around waiting for the traffic light to change all the time to get to class. So are there lessons to be learned of like what not to do? How can we maximize and make sure that this university is going to, when it's a full-fledged, has like a massive amount of numbers of students like UTSA has, it's going to be able to deal with that growth? Council member?
Yeah, I think you hit it the nail on the head when it comes to we want to learn of what not to do. And I think what we have an opportunity here, as was mentioned already earlier, to really work with our public transit entity. We need to make sure that we have a connected public transit arena with our university, and not just the university, but also when we go down to Toyota as well. We have to make it that, not just build for cars, but build for transit, either bus rapid transit, either biking over there, and we have to build that out. And I think because we're still on the early phases, we are planning for that, and I know Texas A&M San Antonio has been planning for that. VIA is looking at it as well. So I think that's extremely important for all of us to work together. We do need to have the state, TxDOT, as one of our big partners in this conversation too, because this is right up to Loop 410.
The number to call in is 210-614-8980. Do you live and work on the city's south side, student, staff member at Texas A&M San Antonio? What's the commute like every day? What do you want to see change to make sure things become smooth as the university continues to grow? Rudy Nino, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Planning Department. As growth is looked at in that area, we're talking about housing developments, it's more than just roads. You know, there's a lot of hookups and other situations that need to be created for utilities. Is that in place?
I think that over the last decade or so, the infrastructure that is available to residents and businesses has been burgeoning. There have been there is the ability within this area to hook up to a stormwater infrastructure. The roadways have been improved because of the fact that there's also a major manufacturing plant out there. Toyota is a major landowner, and they have a major interest in this area, along with Texas A&M. And so the city committed to some investments to try to help with the mobility situation down there, and we continue to work on those. In terms of housing, that is something that we're going to have to be looking at very carefully moving forward. It doesn't surprise me at all that the councilwoman seems to really understand the concerns and the issues that have been expressed from the community and the opportunities that the community sees. We have a survey out right now, so I would encourage your listeners to go to the website for the Texas A&M Regional Center Plan and fill out that survey. It's a SurveyMonkey survey, but when, you know, we're talking right now about the aspirations and vision that the community has. And so far what we're hearing is that folks understand that there is a rural nature to the area. They want to preserve their open space, but they want more access. They want more access to the grocery stores and the entertainment and shopping areas, but they also understand that the retail and the service uses need to be done in a way where in a smart growth compatible way, where there's walkability, where folks can bike, they can use public transit, they can live somewhere near their work if they want that opportunity to do so. So the people are thinking about not just what is good for them today, but you're already sensing that residents care most about what type of environment are our children going to have and our grandchildren are going to have in this area in the future. But the big ideas that you're hearing from residents are issues related to tech and healthcare and making this area a hub of technology. So just south of the campus, when you look at the master plan, it talks about some R&D-related land uses which are transitional from the Toyota manufacturing plant. So those are that's what the community wants. It sounds like the councilwoman already has her pulse on that, and we all understand the circumstances down there. Now it's time for us to move forward in a transparent way with the community and with our institutional partners to make this vision happen.
And so trying to get those access to major retailers and grocery stores, entertainment, shopping centers, and more healthy food options in that area, is there a dialogue? Is there a recruitment going on? Or are you just waiting for someone to set up shop?
Sure. I think that, number one, we're very focused on implementing the master plan that was laid out with the Verano Land Group as part of this bringing the Texas A&M campus to the area. And so within that master plan, they have laid out some areas for retail and for service and so forth. But we need to think much broader than that, because when we're talking about a regional center, we're talking about an area of town that needs to accommodate a significant amount of future housing and job opportunities. So if that's the case, we need to make sure that we're planning for a totally complete community where those opportunities are there. That, you know, we're focused on housing, we're focused on providing those jobs, and hopefully many of those jobs are providing services to a community that is burgeoning over time. So it's a work in progress, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves either. While we understand that there's an urgency to see development out there and to see this great master plan come to fruition, we're really just starting this regional center planning process. And so we're not going to move forward with the assumption that we know what's best. We want to continue to hear from the community. We want them to be a part of the process and helping us develop this master plan. And hopefully we've continued to build that trust in the community so that they can be very supportive of the implementation efforts that need to happen afterwards.
And Todd McAfee at Texas A&M University San Antonio, you're the chief facilities officer there. How are you part of these meetings, part of these discussions with citizens that are not on campus, but they are basically your neighbors?
Yes, absolutely. So, Carlos here and Rudy have put a lot of effort into ensuring, and along, particularly Dr. Mattson, the president of the university, and Dr. Spindle, our chief facilities officer, are fully engaged in this. So, we have gone to, at least Dr. Spindle and I have gone to all of these meetings. Dr. Mattson has gone to the majority of them, and she's very engaged. So it is, it's really important to us that we understand what people in the community want as well. You know, we are partners in this endeavor, and
you can't go it alone.
We can't go it alone.
All right, no. Let me get a caller on the air, 210-614-8980, and George is here. Hey, George, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you doing?
Doing good. Go ahead.
Well, my concern is Medina River Natural Area, which is very, very close to Texas A&M. It's 591 acres. It's fabulous. But the problem is, and it's in the city, it's got city water, but it's got pit toilets. And the headquarters is frankly smaller than the restrooms over at Hartberger. I mean, there are four beautiful natural areas north of the airport and only one south of the airport, and that's Medina River, and it looks like hell. And it, 2 weeks ago, I was out on the trail, and I saw a mother take the baby out of the stroller and seemed to have a real problem. And I asked, hey, you know, is everything okay? And she said, well, I got to take the baby out. And I said, well, why? And she said, well, look at the trail, baby shaking syndrome. And when you can have that all in the while, you know, we're being told by some folks a few weeks ago on your show that there was equity. You know, there just isn't any equity. I mean, it's within visibly, you can see Toyota from here and you can see A&M from here. But I mean, it's given short shrift by the powers that be, I guess, because it's been out of sight, out of mind. And mind you, across from Highway 16 from where we are, there are lots of homes coming.
All right. We're losing you. I guess the cell phone service also might be an issue in that part of town. Council Member Villagran, can you address George's concerns?
No, I think George is right on. We're still fighting the equity issue continually in the city of San Antonio, and I think what he highlighted is just one of the issues that we need to continue to work on, and why equity is something that we have to continue to work on in the city of San Antonio, because we know that this inequity, if you will, did not happen overnight or within. It's been going on for decades and decades, and now we are now slowly moving the needle where we need to move it. And this Medina River Greenway and the preserve is absolutely another area which we need to continue to invest dollars in. I think we can with the dollars that we get from our taxing entity with the preservation of our greenway. So it also takes members and residents like George and others continuing to call and send letters so I can make the case to my council colleagues of why we need to continue to invest more resources in the areas that have more needs. But it is, I mean, we have the Medina River Greenway, the preserve, the Land Heritage Institute, Mitchell Lake isn't far from there either. So we have a lot of opportunity that we need to highlight and then now showcase to the rest of the city. But with that, we also have to have the investment of dollars that I'm absolutely committed to.
And environmental protections for those areas as well?
Yeah, absolutely, environmental protections. We need to make sure that that they have the overlays needed, and the development, if any development comes near there, that it one that we'll see how close it could come, but we have to do everything in concert with the San Antonio River Authority too.
All right. I want to thank Councilmember Rebecca Villagran, District 3, for joining us in the first half hour of our program. We're going to continue talking about the future of Texas A&M SA in San Antonio Southside. We encourage you to call in with your questions and comments, 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What do you want to see in this area? What do you want to see preserved? What do you want to see brought to the area? What are your concerns about future development, and what can be done to make sure that this becomes a shining part of San Antonio, 210-614-8980. And again, thank you, Councilmember Villagran, for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas A&M San Antonio, it is a major investment in the city of San Antonio on the south side. It is going to bring jobs and development, education opportunities, high-tech opportunities for the city of San Antonio. The campus has been there as a full-fledged independent campus for Texas A&M for about 10 years, continues to grow. And as it grows, what will it do to the city's south side, and what should we do in order to protect the identity and the vibe of the south side? What needs to come to make sure that this growth is maximized in a beneficial way? You can call in with your questions and comments. Numbers 210-614-8980. Rodolfo is on the line. And Rodolfo, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Hey, Rodolfo.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Are you there?
Yes, sir. You go right ahead.
Okay. Well, there's a community there on Southton Road right off of IH-37. It's been there for quite a few years. Has no bus service whatsoever. It is quite a large community, and I'm wondering how these people would get to Texas A&M on the south side. They're on the same side of town, a few miles from each other, but yet there's no public transportation to and fro. I think that is an issue, and that I would hope someone would address.
All right, Rodolfo, thank you for your comments. And so integrating Texas A&M into the overall transportation plan, that is something that SA Tomorrow is looking at in part of the survey process. So Rudy Nino, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Planning Department, can you talk about how you're looking at integrating that campus into the city so people can get there?
Sure. You know, one of the a really important comment, very poignant, you know, that we heard from the community when we had our community meeting on January the 30th, was this idea that folks can get from the campus to 410. You can get from 410 on Zarzamora down to 1604. But it's very difficult if you're going east and west to be able to connect with some of the neighborhoods and other communities that are on the south side. And I think that that's because of a number of challenges and constraints that are inherent in that community. There's a lot of natural space, a lot of preservation area that we have to consider. There is a significant amount of floodplain down on the south side that folks have to consider as well. So we do need to ensure that there are east-west connector roads that will facilitate traffic and ingress and egress and will connect our communities in the south side and connect our major institutions like Texas A&M to maybe some neighborhoods that are along Southton Road and so forth. But that's all part of an analysis that we're still, that is part of this planning process, is doing that level of analysis. The Transportation and Capital Improvements Department will be working very closely with us, along with some work that we're doing with the San Antonio River Authority. They're doing some very detailed work looking at the watersheds down here so that they can provide some recommendations on areas that may need to be protected and conserved. But there are some areas where maybe they see some opportunity to help us facilitate growth.
Right, so as you see this development in this watershed, we don't want to see water being diverted into areas that normally mm-hmm. don't have it. Mm-hmm. And we also have to make sure that water is not contaminated so that it doesn't interrupt the Medina River and other mm-hmm. areas, mm-hmm. streams yeah. that we have. That's critical.
Absolutely.
So we got an email from Marcia. What's in the plan to extend the overpass at 410 West and Highway 90 to head south? Now it only connects with 410 North, the same with 151. There's no overpass to connect 151 to 410. If you want to improve transportation, now that would be on the list of things to do. So are you familiar with this this spaghetti ball that they got here?
I think that a project like that definitely is a significant regional connectivity project. It's something that we could probably look into from a regional transportation planning perspective. I know that the MPO and our Transportation Capital Improvements Department is looking for every opportunity to provide additional, you know, connectivity throughout the city. As it relates to this particular plan, we will continue to look at mobility improvements and options so that
folks have connectivity. It's a formula that is such a, you know, pull your hair out, because we know this is areas that's going to be a growth area, and they want to wait until the traffic is at such a point that you absolutely have to build these connections. And so when you do build them, you give the maximum number of people the maximum amount of heartburn for having to deal with the construction, you know, and if you just got ahead of the curve because you know what's going to be happening.
Sure. This is one of those areas where we feel very confident that we're taking the steps to get ahead of that curve, because it really is a blank slate when you look at it from a city planning perspective, and how we can try to lay a foundation from a land use and economic development and housing perspective. Our project manager, Carlos Guerra, this is the type of project that any planner, especially he, is really excited to be working on, because you get to really lay that foundation. Having said that, like you said, there are challenges. You know, we have so many areas throughout our community that have either currently or, you know, have some burgeoning congestion issues. And oftentimes that's where some of the resources go, to try to fix some of those issues or to try to alleviate some of those issues. And so it's all in how we nuance this plan.
Well, I mean, if we were able to improve transportation to parts like this part of San Antonio, then it would relieve some of the stress on other parts of the city of San Antonio, because then we would be able to redirect growth.
Sure. No, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I think it's important as we craft this plan that we're very deliberate about it, that we nuance the recommendations in this plan. You know, we're talking about this equity perspective. And so as we move forward, are there areas where we need to prioritize investment versus just making a recommendation for something? So if there's a roadway that we need to absolutely prioritize, and maybe it gets moved up the list of, you know, ranked projects, maybe that's what we need to do so that we can create those relief valves for other areas of the community.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980, as we talk about San Antonio's Southside future with Texas A&M SA. Elizabeth is on the line. And hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dave, and for always having such a great show. This is a great discussion. My point is, driving down Broadway into the downtown area, I see a lot of these new apartments. They remind me, I mean, they're so tasteless and so, there's no imagination. It's just like they're thrown up. I see the same kind of architecture being done when I was helping to lead tours to Eastern Europe and through former communist countries. During the communist era, they built these apartments that were just absolutely tasteless. People were crammed together. And, of course, in our case, they're not prepared for the traffic that they attract downtown. But I'm thinking that these old neighborhoods that have such character and are such a part of the history and the culture of San Antonio have such unique designs and buildings, and even downtown we see that. I would like to see in some of the new housing and the new apartment complexes a little bit more consideration given to preserving the culture of San Antonio and the unique character that the city is.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for that call. Of course, there's no accounting for taste. You know, the people that they do love those apartments. You can tell by looking at the rent bills that people pay for those condos there. But one thing about development in this area is that a lot of this is pretty much rural. You're going to be displacing cactus and a few head of cattle, not a lot of neighborhoods. Todd Maccabee, you're the chief facilities officer with Texas A&M University San Antonio. Y'all have adopted a point of view with architecture that it has it's rooted in Spanish architecture, and there's been some dialogue to trying to encourage the surrounding development to follow on that, right?
Well, I can't say as far as the surrounding development goes.
Like at the gates?
No, at the gates, of course. Yes, we do have 10 acres at the entrance to the north end of Texas A&M San Antonio. That, you know, there's talk of developing that and with a partnership, and you know, we're excited to ensure that that is well crafted, not unlike we just heard, to ensure that the entry to
not
Texas
communist block inspired.
exactly. So, you know, we play a very big role in how that aesthetics appears, and we hope that whoever purchases the Ronald land follows suit with some very creative and well-crafted architecture as well.
All right. And so let me get Melissa on the air. Melissa, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I had a question. I was reading an article on the internet recently about city planning and rideshare partnering up with via the bus system to help people be able to get in to where the buses are running from the outlying areas. And I wanted to see if you guys had any information or knew anything more about that. I heard it was specifically Lyft, but wanted to see if that was there was any other information out there for that.
Okay, so our guests don't have that information, but I do know that from previous programs that we've had with VIA that they are talking about a voucher program working with rideshare. I don't know if that's the right word anymore, but these ride for hire companies that they can help people get to VIA lines if they live in areas that are not connected to VIA. Let me go to another caller, and this is Armando. Armando, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm from the Mesquite. I'm assistant editor. So I was getting feedback about an article about students. They were saying that the bus is coming in earlier and faster, and it's not longer wait times. But my question was about the VIA bus, about the expansion of how it's growing in this area. Is it something that's going to expand in the future? Or?
Right. So, Armando, thank you for the call. And so we have been, are you able to help with that, Todd?
All I can say is that I'm not a part of the transportation and parking department at the school, but I do know that there has been conversations with VIA. And I believe based because of those conversations, we have some increased routes out there now, and we're going to continue that. I know that.
Every time VIA has a planning opportunity and they put out maps and they put out forecasts and this is what they want to do, Texas A&M SA is a major part of what they want to see happen. And they want to be able to provide quick, easy routes to future students and make sure that they're part of the future growth of San Antonio and not be behind the wave. We're going to continue our conversation. It's 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, as we talk about San Antonio South and Texas A&M SA. We'll be right back after this quick break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies, Texas A&M SA, and the SA Tomorrow Planning. They're working together to make San Antonio South Side vibrant and exciting. They've got a lot of land out there. They've got this fantastic institution, Texas A&M San Antonio. With us to talk about that is Todd McAbee. He's the Chief Facilities Officer at Texas A&M San Antonio. And so there's still a lot more buildings popping up on campus. How big is it now? What's going on?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We are growing exponentially. It's a pretty incredible process. So, you know, currently we're at about 500,000 square feet of three major buildings and a smaller building called Patriots Casa. We just finished our Science and Technology building. It opened up in August of this year, so first semester of 2019. And we have a lot on the board, too, a ton. We have a new residence hall that's being worked on. We have a building that's starting construction, about a 60,000 square foot classroom and office building that starts construction, should break ground in May. We're already looking at a new library and College of Business building, another 100,000 square feet, a rec center, 40 to 60,000 square feet. It's very, very exciting, all the opportunities that are happening out here. And I look forward to seeing what the next 3 or 4 years brings, because we're gonna double pretty much what we have now.
So what's your acreage?
We have approximately the whole is a little over 700. We broke it into two parcels, of 580 give or take, and then about 150, I believe, that is separate from us farther south, closer to the water recycling center.
Right, and so that's going to be a separate facility that's going to be researching water issues, right? Eventually.
Eventually, I'm certain we will. We do have a program now in water research that we're just developing. I'm not an expert on what they're doing over there, but I know we just built a building, and they do have offices and labs in the new science and technology building.
And so with all the acreage that you have, about 700 acres, and that is just dedicated specifically for campus use, right? It's not going to be sold off or anything else?
No, absolutely not. Yeah, the Texas A&M system, we don't sell land.
Yeah. And so that provides, like, you have a massive footprint mm-hmm. where there's nothing but growth that's going to be coming to that area.
Yeah, it's incredible. If anyone has an opportunity to go to the Texas A&M University San Antonio website and look at our master plan that they developed in 2017, it shows very clearly what we plan to see in the next 20 years. And it's developed well. It shows the next 2 to 5 years as well. It shows incremental growth.
So what happens? What's happening with the land that's not being used right now? Is it being just allowed to be in its natural state?
It is. Yep. Everything that they're doing out there. I mean, we are in. Well, I don't want to talk too much about that yet. But there are some opportunities there. We want very much. We've met with CPS Energy. There's a large gas pipeline that runs through the campus that we are hoping to turn into and help link to. Potentially someday the Medina trails. It's a pretty significant trail system that we hope to tie into there as well. So we want to extend ourselves into the community as much as we can, and we'll do everything we can with the city. Of course, the city planners, SAWS, or whoever would help us develop that.
Now, Rudy Nino, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio's Planning Department. Verano, which is a massive corporation, they bought up a lot of the land in that south side of San Antonio, and then they were able to donate a sizable portion for the construction of Texas A&M. And this was a fantastic gift in order to provide for San Antonio's higher education, but also it was a business opportunity for them. But since then, we haven't seen a lot of development from Verano. What's happening with them, do you know?
We continue to have discussions with the Verano Land Group. There is definitely movement. There is opportunity. They know that this is going to be a good place for them. This is going to be a good place to
or whoever owns the property.
Whoever owns the property.
Because they have put it on the market, mm-hmm. and then they took it off the market, correct. And then they put it back on the market. So there's this vacillation back and forth, which is kind of like held up. Because there was an approved timeline, mm-hmm. that there was supposed to be certain benchmarks made along the development for this Verano, and which didn't happen.
Correct.
And so, but right now we're still kind of in a wait and see.
We are, but the one thing that is incumbent upon us is we have to reach out to the Verano Land Group, and so we've done that, and we have asked them to have their key staff on this planning team as well, so that we can start airing this you know, the issues and opportunities, and have that discussion, because all of the other institutions that are out there, all of the other planning team members want to have a stake. They want to know what's going on. They want to make sure that we're doing land use planning appropriately north of the Texas A&M site. So they are going to be at the table. They're going to be participating. We will learn a little bit more about their future plans. And I hope that everybody will be willing to ask questions and ultimately get to a point where we all have some comfort that we're protecting Texas A&M being the key key educational asset in our south side.
And the city of San Antonio has also provided for a tax, incremental reimbursement zone?
A tax increment reinvestment zone, correct. Yeah, it's a tool that is going to be used in order to offset the cost of providing additional infrastructure so that we can lay that foundation, continue to lay that foundation for more housing, more jobs and opportunity. So as development comes in, as they develop the infrastructure, lay out the infrastructure necessary for that development, they can request reimbursement from this entity that the city has allowed to be created.
So it could be up to like $250 million that could be provided for this if they put in all the needed mm-hmm. infrastructures mm-hmm. that's needed. So it seems like there are a lot of pieces in place. We're just waiting for a catalyst of mm-hmm. some sort, and I think that's maybe time or I don't know, someone else to pick up this property, that Verano sure. property and run with it.
Yeah, no, I
think move fast.
Right. It could move fast. It could move a little slower. We want to, kind of temper the expectations on what could happen because we don't have control of that. But, anytime that there's movement, anytime that the campus continues to grow, it just makes that land more enticing for folks to say, you know what, we need to be by A&M. There's an opportunity there that we can't miss out on. So I am confident that we're going to see some good movement there over the course of the horizon of this regional center plan, which is 10 years.
And so Todd Maccabee, with the students at Texas A&M right now, do they tend to be students who drive in, or are they on campus?
Right now we have approximately 380 beds in our one residence hall. So with a program of 6,500 or so students, you're going to see that most of them are driving in. Now we are poised at a level now where we're looking at building a second residence hall, which would, you know, double a little bit more so than what we currently have. So we're excited about that. Then again, not into Rudy's point, with that growth, hopefully we can spur on the growth around us as well, mm-hmm. to show that we, you know, there is an opportunity to work together with these other retail and commercial entities. And we are supplying a really large number of people that are potential customers for them.
And so the survey they're asking folks, and it's in English and Spanish, what do you like most about this area? What's missing from this area? What about the community do you want to see different so that it'll remain as attractive place for future generations? What's your vision or what's your big idea for the future of this area? And so, Rudy Nino, what kind of answers are you getting from folks?
So far, we're hearing that in terms of what they like for the area, it's what they – people like what they have now. There's a comfort level with the rural character, how quiet it is, the livestock in the area. But in terms of missing, you really hear about, hey, you know, we want, you know, more wellness centers and healthcare facilities. We need housing for seniors down in this area. But also we need off-campus housing options. We're hearing that from the students in the area because they don't want to have to commute that far in order to come to school. In terms of what folks would like to see changed in the community, there are a number of salvage yards. There are a lot of, you know, there are some auto auctions. There's concerns about infrastructure quality and illegal dumping. So those are things we've heard across the board. That's nothing new, and it's definitely something that
it says something code enforcement
of. Code enforcement type situations.
What about grandfathered? I mean, some of these properties have been there for a while.
Yeah, some of those properties have been there for a while. They may have been there before we annexed out in this area. They may have been there if a use is out there illegally. You know, given the property rights, you know, that are entitled to a property, you know, they can continue to use it. But the moment that they abandon it or they don't want to use it that way anymore, then they have to follow current zoning.
And that shows why you do want to get in early, like we're doing now, in order so that you can avoid future headaches from taking root. And then you have to wait. There's this big tire dump right here and it's licensed, but it is an eyesore and it's keeping us from moving forward and putting together something that would be a benefit for the entire area.
Absolutely correct. Yeah.
And so so you're able to use planning and zoning in order to enforce that or keep that? And what are the requirements for anyone who would want to develop businesses? Is it going to be onerous?
Well, what we would do through the land use planning process is we're laying out ultimately what should the land pattern look like for an area. And then we'll follow it up with a zoning process so that we make sure that the type of land use, the actual uses that we want to see on the ground and the standards that those uses should take would ultimately have to be enforced. And there are often times where when you go in through a community planning process that a use like, let's just say, a salvage yard or so forth may not necessarily be part of that 25-year vision for a community. And it may be categorized a certain way because of its location. And they would be grandfathered. You're correct. But the moment that they would stop using it as a salvage yard for more than a year and it just sits there abandoned, they would not have the opportunity to continue that anymore. That is how you see an appropriate level of turnover within a city.
And so this region around Texas A&M San Antonio was identified as one of four emerging activity centers. Mm-hmm. So this has been identified by the city of San Antonio as this is going to be a major player for the future growth of the city.
That's correct. The comprehensive plan, when we adopted that in 2016, council adopted the plan. That is our future land use policy that says that, yes, there are four major activity centers where we want to see a significant amount of housing and job opportunities. This is definitely one of them. It's an emerging center. It may not have 15,000 jobs quite yet, but I think that we're all pretty confident that over the next 25 years, we're going to have way more than 15,000 jobs in this
area. So go out there right now, get an eyeful so you can say, I remember when there was nothing out here but a bunch of cattle and some cactus and a lot of open space. Rudy Nino, Assistant Director for the City of San Antonio Planning Department. Todd Maccabee, he is the Chief Facilities Officer at Texas A&M University San Antonio, registered architect with the state of Texas. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.